Open up your imagination and dare to dream. You know what a dream is? It's something, it captures your heart, it captures your imagination, and once it gets instilled in you, you cannot let it go. And when passion and purpose comes together, it explodes. Now, what is the thing that fuels that passion? Do you know what fuels it? It's intimacy. It all starts with intimacy. So I want to start with a scripture that speaks of this, and it's in Psalms. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And you know why? Because when you delight yourself in him, as you come before him, as your love for him grows, as your devotion for him grows, it's his desires. His very desires are imparted to us. So as we are here, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for each and every one that is here, Lord. I pray that the desires of their hearts will be fulfilled, Lord. You are bringing them into this sweet place of intimacy. You're bringing them into a deeper place with you. And as they delight themselves in you, their desires are lining up with yours, God. So that is the launching pad where passion and purpose all come together. So even through this message, I want you to just take the time to think about it. You can even write it in your journals. Count the dots of the things in your life, all the little things in your life that brought you to where you are today. So as I was doing my message, God said, I'm going to bring you back because I want to show you the very beginning of when a passion that rose up in you that had to do with your purpose. And I was about 9 years old, and that's when someone put a Bible in my hand. And this little 9-year-old girl was under the covers with a flashlight reading this Bible. I'm taking it all in. I didn't understand any of it, I'm sure. But it was still, I couldn't put it down. And that was the spark. That was the beginning of my hunger and my love for God. So I want you to just take a second to think back. What were some of the beginning passions that rose up in you? Because God is bringing you there. He will bring you. He created us. Who better than our Creator? What did we say? He's called us. Who has called us? The one that created us. And he created us in a way that each one of you is totally unique, right? Totally unique. There is no one else like you at all. And totally unique. And he is going to build on your dream and your purpose the way he uniquely made you. Everything from your personality, your gift mix, and then also, so importantly, all those experiences along the way. And the scripture that spoke to me so clearly was, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So I want you to think back on all these things, some of them good, some of them maybe not so pleasant, but God was using all of these things to have your life line up to the woman that you are today. All things work for the good of those who love him and are called for his purpose. Now, I think of my own life again. He brought me back to when I was a little girl again. And one of the things that caught my interest was dance. There was a passion in me to dance. So my mom, being a good mom, brings me to dance lessons. Well, I'm telling you, my dance teacher was mean. She made dance moms look like a walk in the park. I mean, she was mean, and I would come home, my mom said, with tears streaming down my face, crying because she was mean. And then we have the recital, right? You know, recitals for the kids, and there's a whole big room full of people. And there I am, and I have dyslexia, so I don't know my right from my left unless I go like this, because that's right. So I am up there on the stage, and I have this woman yelling at me, Dorothy, move, move, faster, faster. My little arms swinging, trying to keep up. You couldn't get me to go back after that. That was it. I am not going back to dance class. But that passion, that spark, was ignited as a baby, as a child. And the first ministry God opens up to me was the dance ministry. God said, this one will dance for me. Yes, this one will dance for me. And then he actually opened up the door with no training to have me be the one to lead the ministry. God had a sense of humor. I didn't even know you were supposed to count. I mean, totally. Thank God I was surrounded with women that knew what they were doing, you know. But I was always, and I choreographed at the pieces, and I was always drawn to ones that were rich in scripture. And I would take that scripture and my imagination would bring it to life. And then I would dance and create these dances. And there it was, passion and purpose starting to unite. God said, this one, I'm separating her for my glory. Isn't God good? Think about it. Think about all things in your life, all the things from when you were small, all of these things, and connect the dots. Write them down. Now, passion is a wonderful thing, but not all passion will lead you in a good direction. Really, now. I mean, now, being attracted to someone you shouldn't be attracted to, I mean, this is not good. You know, I always say my husband never has to worry about me lusting after another man, but a pair of a designer shoes is another story. I mean, really. I mean, and you think I'm kidding? I'm serious. I'm serious. I really am. There'd be those shoes. Oh, go for it. In fact, I've turned this passion into a whole ministry. It's called my shopping ministry. Because everywhere we go, some of the ladies have been with me in my shopping ministry. Right, Laura? We've been there. And because everywhere we go, we're his ambassadors. And because I carry my cards on me, and whether I'm shopping or I'm in the mall, I ask for divine appointments. And God sets them up all along the way. Right? Right? I'm getting a pair of designer shoes, and I'm winning a soul, too. What do you say, ladies? Go for it, ladies. Passion is powerful. It's a powerful force, but it needs to be channeled well. And not all of the passion could lead to sin, but if you're pulled in so many different directions, you can lose sight of your dream. So it needs focus. And sometimes, even because of that, there's so many things pulling at you, you start to question, is this really from God? Is it really from God? But no, you'll know it is because it's just deep in you and it won't go away. But the security is found in intimacy. It's found when you're alone with him, when he says, delight yourself in me and I'll give you the desires of your heart. That's where our security comes as we come before him. You have to remember, you're partnering with God. It's not you out there on your own. He is there with you. He is with you. It's all about intimacy. That is the launching pad where passion meets purpose. So I was kind of saying, well, what scriptures do I want to highlight? And the one that he gave me was about the vine and the branches, because it talks so much. It shows intimacy so well. And when this was going on, Jesus was walking. He was walking with his disciples, going through a vineyard. He was letting them know, time's coming, I'm not going to be here with you. He wanted to let them know visually an illustration of what was to come. And so this was Jesus' words. He said, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Do you realize at the moment of salvation, do you know what happens? We are grafted into the vine. You are out there, a branch, no, disconnected from God. The moment of salvation, you are grafted into that vine. Jesus wanted them to know, you'll be united with me. My presence is going to fill you up to perfection. And he wanted them to see it. And that's why he used this. Sweetie, can I have a glass of, I'm starting to get a little dry. Thank you. I don't want to dry out up here. Thank you. The wet ones, right? Yes. Yeah. We always tease each other because we cry a lot here. Thank you, honey. Thank you. Yeah, so Jesus, that's what he said. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And you know the key word here, or one of the key words here, is abide. It's abide. So what does abide mean? It means to stay. It means to yield. It means to surrender. It means to be dependent upon. And you need to abide. And you know what the difference is? Bottom line, it's the difference between being a nominal Christian and an extraordinary Christian. I'll say that again. Abiding, staying, remaining in him, it's the difference between being nominal and extraordinary. And ladies, what are we called to be? Extraordinary women of God. Yes. And then what can happen what can happen to us? The reason I know about this, the reason I can even talk about it, is because what can happen with a nominal Christian is you are ending up doing it in your own strength. You're doing it in your own wisdom. You're doing it in your own power. You're making your own steps, your own will. And the only reason I can talk about it is because I can go there. I can go there in my life. I can slip into it, doing my own thing. I can slip into it. So I have to remind myself daily to come to him, to yield myself afresh to him each day, to come before him. Can anybody else, can you relate to that? Yes. Yeah, and that's the difference. God has called us to live in the supernatural realm, above the natural realm. The kingdom of God is here. The power, presence of God coming in us and through us in everything we do. But you have to let it go, right? You have to abide. You have to remain. You have to yield to that. Now, the scripture already also talks about abiding in his word. Wow, I love this one, right? It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. So what does that mean? It means if you yield your life to me, if you remain in me, if you yield and you stay and you read your Bible and you listen to sermons and you take the word and you apply it to your life, you speak it out. And you speak it out. Declaring God's word is powerful. It is powerful. And you know a scripture that so empowers me, and it's found in the book of Acts 17:38. And I quote it and I live it. In him I live and move and have my being. I'll say that again. In him, I live and move and have my being. And as I do, his presence saturates my soul for whatever is needed. For whatever is needed. It's like turning on like a lamp, right? A lamp. It's plugged in, right? The lamp is plugged in, but you've got to turn it on for the light to come forth, right? And what turns on the light? It is the word of God. You know what else turns on the light? Worship. Ah, worship. When worship fills you, you get filled with his presence. You experience his love, and then you lavish it back on him, and then he lavishes it back on you. It's beautiful. Abiding in him in another way. Jesus said, abide in my word. In him I live and move and have my being. Every aspect. It covers every aspect of it. He said you can do nothing without him, but we don't have to do anything without him. As long as we cling to him, as long as we look to him, as long as we don't try to do it on our own. And ask and pray, God, let me know, show me when I'm doing it on my own. So you can just say, nope, I ain't going there. I'm going to cling to you. No, I'm not going to go there. And he will. He'll make you aware we have not because we ask not. You know, God's timing is always perfect. When he calls us out, he puts a dream in your heart. He puts a purpose in you. And then his timing comes and boom, what do you know? It's here. I think of our own Jenny Carter. Now, this, what an amazing woman, right? She is here, and she first came to my women's Bible study, our mom's Bible study. There she is. Look at my cutie pie over there. Look at her. So there she is in there, and while she's with me, I'm saying, this woman has a great teaching gift. It's so apparent in her. And besides that, there was this sweet sense of humility about her when she would share. And, you know, so I shared, I said, honey, you got a great a teaching gift here. And so she shared with me how it would be bumping out of her so much. She would be in her bedroom, and she would take a word, and she'd be preaching, teaching to the walls. You know, and God said, no, 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 this will not do. No, no, no. And what happened? We were praying, say, oh, we need someone to lead our youth. We need a youth minister. And guess who we opened the door to? Our own Jenny. Praise God. But I'm going to take you back because I asked her, hon. I didn't know I was going to do this, but I was just subtly asking her questions here. So when she was little, when did this develop? And she said, as a child, there she was with her desk, all her stuffed animals. And she is teaching all her little stuffed animals there. So this was coming up in her from beyond that purpose and passion was ready to go. And then the other one, this was the cutest, I love this. As a teenager, her dad is a youth pastor. So as a teenager, she started praying, oh, I would love to marry a youth pastor like my dad. Well, little did she know, she would be the one ministering to the youth. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Again, and her, she delights herself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires. God opened those doors for her. Now I'm going to highlight my own. Where is my Marge? My Marge Garcia. We have this picture for me. Oh, oh, do you love it? Do you love it? Well, here is our Marge as a child. Isn't she adorable? As a child, she is there, and she's in school, and then they did these dramas mixed to poetry. And she'd get up with her little microphone, and for what she told me, she wasn't good at it. But it wasn't just her telling me. She said the teacher, she would overhear them, oh, this kid is not good at this at all. This kid, you know. But it didn't stop her. It was not stopping her, because she knew she was called to speak in front of people. So she kept getting up and getting up and getting up, and there she is over there, right? So God, and every time she does, she's an inspiration, whether she's here in the pulpit, where she's teaching a crow track, where she's teaching the children. And then one day, you know what God did? And this little girl with that microphone, and she was ready to go, he brought her to Mexico, and she stood, and she called a salvation out, and all these people came to Christ. Praise God. This little girl that was the call, he was bringing her out. And I could go on and on. And look at our Tiffany, whose gift is equally as wonderful. And then I think of I could talk about this all day. You do know this. But I think of Laurie and Carol. I think of them. They have this passion for the lost. They have this passion for the downtrodden, this passion for the poor. And so what did God do? He opened the door for that. He opened the door for them. And I bet you will not be surprised that our own Sue Hiles was having tea parties as a little girl. Yes, she was doing tea parties. And now, do we have there's my girl up there. I mean, they're fabulous ladies. So God gave her a whole vision for tea parties. He's always in the mix of everything. So I want you to reflect on your own life. If it comes to you, write it in your journal now. I'm saying good and bad. It's all kinds of things that are coming together, these passions that we're awakening in you, that one day will come and know it's of God. Know it's of God. So that's what he did with me. As I was preparing, he brought me through my life, through all different things that were going on. And he gave me a peace, a sense of fulfillment, that there was meaning in all those things along the way. So as a child, I went to Sunday school. My mom, you know, brought me there. And it did open my heart to pray. It opened my heart to start to love God. But the thing is, there was no teaching there to take it and to apply it to your own life. There was nothing there. So my main influence in my life was my family life and my peers. Now, I was raised in a beautiful home filled with love. My parents never showed each other anything but love and respect, and they were passionately in love. My father was chasing my mother around at 80 years old, chasing her around the house. In fact, they were downright horny. They were horny. They were horny. They would love each other so much they were horny. So their biggest fear is they would rape a horny child. I would get the horny gene. So this was this terrible fear with them. So my mother is lecturing me even before I'm playing with dolls, and she's lecturing me about sex before I was even thinking about it. And because it was their fear. But the thing is, they didn't quite know how to teach it to me. So they expressed their fear. And that my mom would say, "Dorothy, do not have sex. You could get pregnant." Again and again, "Don't have sex. You can get pregnant." And it's going in one ear and out the other, really, you know. So what's influencing me is my peers. It's the ones around me. And my peers, at least at that point in time, or at least my circle of friends anyway, it was if you really loved someone and if you had were with them for a while, it was okay. So that's, and I ended up getting pregnant at 16. Their worst fear came through. Now, my daughter's dad and I, we got married, but their worst fear happened. And the thing is, it changed the course of my life. But the biggest thing is it derailed my faith. That's what happened. Now, it was a very confusing time, because here I am, and this, my baby, this love, this all-consuming love for my baby is there. You know, there is no regret, no regret for my baby, none whatsoever. But with that came this blanket of shame. You know, seeing my parents' disappointment, it was their worst fear. And then, to top it off, the reverend, the place that I had gone to church, right? So we go there, and he wanted him to marry us. Absolutely refused to marry us. Wow. He said, "I will not marry you. This marriage will not last." And he was right. It didn't last that long. But his demeanor was harsh. His demeanor was judgmental. And as a child, what happened, I was offended. So you take these two things. We take offense. Has anybody know that? Have you ever been in the body? You got offended and you walked away? And that's between that and this blanket of shame. That's what happened. You know? And so at that point, my path started to go away from God. But the thing is, God was never far away from me. He was there through all the heartache, through all the pain, through everything that happened. And again, sometimes I've asked him, I said, "God, why did you wait so long to bring me back? Why was it so late in life? You know, why couldn't I have raised my child that way? Why was I away so long, God? Why, God, why?" And you know what he told me? "So that you will be unshockable." Unshockable. You would have seen the world. I am going to bring women to you that have that blanket of shame on them. And they are going to tell you things they've never told anyone else. And they're going to see my love in your eyes. And my love in your touch. And I am going to give you the words to break that shame off of them, just the way I broke it off of you. Yeah, I'm a shameless woman. I really am. I am a totally shameless woman. Oh, and it's my heart to raise you up. Yes, to raise you up filled with passion. Passion. Passion and purpose, and have a dream that'll be fulfilled, and a love for Jesus that all consumes you. That is my heart's cry. And also to teach you God's ways as far as men. I never learned that, so I teach the women God's ways, and I teach them God's heart, that he says, I want to protect my girls. I want to protect you. And I didn't know the why, but I teach them the why. And when they know the why, they're rooted and grounded in this, and they're confident. And they're confident. You know, a confident woman that's rooted and grounded in what she believes, men are drawn to that. Men are drawn. And the men, they're not safe around me either, you know. I'm old enough that I can go to talk about sex, and they don't freak out, like this lady's talking about sex, you know. But I talk to them, and I tell them, I want to let you know, the women I'm raising up in this place, and I talk to them about it, and then I explain it to them, and you know what I see? I watch it. I watch as I talk to them. I watch it bring out the man in them. I watch it bring out that man that wants to protect, that man that wants to show honor, because that is in every man. Yes. Now, if I can do that, you can do that, right? And if they don't want to listen, we know what we can do with our designer shoes. Bingo! Did you hear me say it? Yes. Yes. Yeah, a sweet fragrance it is to the Lord. I teach them the why. And we keep pointy shows also, ladies. Yes. Again, God is calling us to be extraordinary women of God that will step out in all that God has for us. But it takes courage. God wants to bring you out of your comfort zone. Out of your comfort zone. But if you're going to be comfortable because you can do it in your own strength, whoopee-doo, right? He ain't going to do that. He's going to bring you places you can't go without him. He wants you to step out of your comfort zone. So the scripture that I wanted to go to was to get out of the boat, right? That's a great scripture. It's a great analogy. It's a great story. I'm sure we're all familiar with it. And when Jesus walked on water. All right, so let us go. The disciples were in the boat, and they said, when the disciples saw Jesus coming, walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, and then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And he said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He's right there to lift you up, calling you to something bigger than yourselves. But it takes faith. It takes faith to go there. So you have to know it. Dream big, girls. Let your imagination go. Yes. Right? Don't put it in a box, because God has big things for you. The bigger you dream, the more he can have you step out in it. But you do have to step out. The thing is, if you don't step, the beginning comes by stepping out. So some of you are here for the first time. You're even going to dare to dream. I don't even know if I have a dream, you're saying. God's saying, oh, yes, you do. And by the time our Lynette gets through with you, it is going to be in full blossom. I can trust in that. Now, some of you might have stepped out before and started to live that dream, but then distractions came and worries came and it got lost. And you started to question, is it really from God? But he's saying to you, you of little faith, why did you doubt? No, I am resurrecting that dream today. Resurrecting that dream. Everyone, if that is you, just know it. Say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice. He's resurrecting those dreams. He's stepping us out. I love it. It takes faith and intimacy, those two things. And as we talked about before, the word that Tiff got, fear. Fear holds people back. So, you can't fulfill your dream. The beginning of it is stepping out. And the first steps, it's frightening. Fear holds people back. Fear of failure, fear of commitment, fear that you're not worthy enough, fear of the unknown. I would not be standing here if I let fear hold me back. I mean, the first time I had got up, I mean, terrified. I was at the altar for hours begging God, literally, please come, please, I can't do it without you. I mean, I was still gripped with fear, even with praying before I got up. It was still all there. But I just was early before church. No one's there. Oh, please, God, please. And as soon as I stepped out, I said, I can't do it if you don't come. Gone. No fear. No fear. It was gone in an instant. But if I hadn't stepped out and I hadn't been dependent on him, yeah, he saw that. I didn't really have to be begging for 2 hours, but I didn't know any better. I kept saying, please, please, you know, but yeah, don't let fear hold you back. God said, step out. In him, I live and move and have my being. Know that in him, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In him, I am worthy. In him, I am beautiful. In him, all these things. I am worthy. I am loved with an everlasting love. In him, I'm strong. In him, I'm courageous. In him, yes. So I want to let you fill up, ladies. We're going to fill ourselves up today. Are we going to get filled up? Yes. Now, your dream can have many different forms. And in different seasons in your life, you can have a different dream, right? There's different seasons, but it's always rooted in having an impact on others' lives. Isn't that right, Lynette? Yes. You agree, dear. This one, I can't wait for this afternoon. It's going to be so good. Now, another one in our midst is our own Maria over there. Our own Maria. She has an entrepreneur. I said that right, entrepreneur? I make up words if I don't. No. Yeah, they have a whole book of the words I've made up. I'm actually calling you the millenniums. I thought they were the millenniums. They're looking at me, it's the millenniums. Yes, I start a whole new thing here. But Maria, she was called to be an entrepreneur. Now she is creative, and plus she has a heart. She wants to see people set free. And she realizes the power of words. So she wants to inspire people through words. So you know what he did? He just showed her, make a t-shirt and put inspiring words on that t-shirt and have a website. And one of her lines says, it takes courage. It takes faith. It takes love. Isn't that beautiful? Every one of those things. And it's so beautiful because God put that on her heart. And now we have our next women's event, ladies, in November. We'll be having an event. And she is going to have a table in the back with all of her t-shirts. But that would not have happened if she hadn't stepped out to make them. God opened that door for her to do that. Isn't God good? Yes. Look how good God is. Yeah. Passion and purpose coming together. I want you to link those two together, this passion. It's this desire. And then the purpose gets united with it. And it will, whew, we're going to fly, ladies. So I think about in my life when everything started to come into place. Now, I was a bartender at the time. I mean, only God can take a bartender and turn her into a pastor. I mean, really, especially one like me, you know. There I am behind the bar. Some beautiful lady comes in witnessing. She's there. She says, I'm going to get this woman to church one way or the other. And she kept inviting, you know. And then one day I said yes. So here I am behind that bar. I mean, that weight of shame was so thick on me by this point. I mean, really thick. But not for long. No, not for long. Because she invited me to church. And the presence of God was so thick. It was so thick. And I just opened my heart. And when I received Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, and I asked for forgiveness, it was like this weight of shame. I literally felt it lift. It lift right off. The tears were streaming down my face. face because it was gone. And then it was like I put my finger in a light socket. That's what it felt like. There was this whole new world that was opening up to me. It was, I just went home going, I can't wait to read my Bible. I can't wait to go to church. I want to be like that woman on the worship team where her hands are worshiping. Where does she go, God? Bring me there. Bring me there. Awakened in an instant. Gosh, so good. And God started, after that was it. He started opening doors. That's how good he is. And he took, I took, when I was in the dance ministry, I found a song that came to the prayer of Jabez. Oh, and I choreographed a dance to that song. And I'm gonna say this prayer now, just for anyone that doesn't know it. It says, oh Lord, would you bless me and enlarge my territory? May your hand be with me and keep me from evil, that I will not cause pain. So I choreographed a dance to this, and you know what God did? I got invited to go to the very church that I went to Sunday school, where my faith got derailed. I got to stand in the pulpit where the reverend was before, and there was someone new there, but God brought me back. He brought me back. He'd already taken all offense out of me. He'd already healed me, and he said, now I'm going to bring you back. Isn't he good? God, he's so good. I can't stand it. You know, and you too, you could see it in your life. I mean, another ministry opened the door was a connect group. I mean, it is so amazing, ladies, to lead a connect group. So fulfilling, because you have so much impact on people's lives. And some of you here may even be thinking, I'd like to do that. I'd like to lead a connect group. Well, I was leading it with my husband, one of my first ones. And, you know, so I went out because we were going to serve coffee. So I wanted to get some really cool coffee mugs. Well, I go into the dollar store, and what do I find? With the scripture love on them. I'm like, love is patient, love is kind. I'm like, oh, yes, I've got to buy these. So I scoot them all up into my cart. I mean, there were a good 15 of them. I didn't leave one for anybody else, no. I want them all. I still have them in boxes. I don't even have to keep using them, right? So I've got them all there, right? Beautiful. I get up to the counter, and this woman behind the counter is slow, and I'm tapping my finger like, oh, please, my foot is tapping, you know. Then this other one, the customer goes, you know, can I have a price check on this? I'm going, a price check? It's a dollar store. You know, what do you need a price check? What? So then I look over, and then another cashier is opening up. Okay, now the right protocol is if you're in front of the line, you can go, right? So I'm see it. Okay, it's me. At the corner of my eye, I see someone trying to get ahead of me. No, I barrel through. Ah, I'm here. My little love mug. The woman behind the counter is looking at me like, what a jerk. And I look over, and there's this little old lady with a walker. I had literally almost bowled her over. I mean, really. So here I am with my little love mugs. As long as I love is patient, love is kind. As long as I'm not running over little old ladies. I mean, it's a killer. It's a killer. But we're all a work in progress. Right? We are. You know? So now I really try not to run them over. No, little old men maybe, no. I really, but I do, I remember these things. You know, you do. And God brings you back and he shows us, you know, that's what I love about being a Christian. We're all a work in progress. We are learning together. And the more we cling to him, the more we yield our life to him, as more we know we're grafted into the vine. And as that comes through us, that things will come in our life that will line up. It says, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. We'll walk more in love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Yes. Nothing. Amen. But it's important that you know, getting back to the moment that you are born again, You have been grafted into that vine. Isn't that beautiful? I love salvation can be explained so many different ways. Born again is my favorite way. And it is because I think it depicts it so well. Because what is it's two actual births that we have. We have our natural birth, and then we have our spiritual birth. Now, when you were born, what is the first thing that happens? They cut the umbilical cord. Boom. You're out there on your own. You were in your mom, in her womb, the very place you were created. They cut it and you're out there. But you're also separated from God because of original sin. But it's so easy. God says, it's so easy. I'm going to bring you back. You too can be grafted into the vine. You can know what it is to have that shame and guilt lifted off of you in a second. And all it takes is just to repent and to declare me as the Lord and Savior of your life. And what will happen? My presence will come and will fill you up. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Kim, could you come up, sweetheart? I never preach without giving an invitation for anyone that may not know. Maybe you've never heard about even this before. That a time when it's a true intimate place with God, where you're actually having an intimate encounter with the living God. And it's a place where you're asking for it personally. And as you do, and as you ask for forgiveness, it's like it's all gone in an instant. One prayer, it's lifted off. It's lifted off. And then he fills you up with his presence, empowering you for all he has for you. Scripture tells us if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So with all heads bowed, if you have never made that personal confession of your faith right here in your seat, it's very personal. All you have to do is recognize him and raise your hand right now and say, God, that's me. God, that's me. I want to know you, God. I want you to flow in me and through me. In him, I live and move and have my being. God is good. And anybody here, you're saying, yes, I know I'm attached to you. I know I'm attached to that vine, but I want to abide more, God. I want to open myself up and surrender and yield everything to you afresh today. Every area of my life, Lord God, I want to depend on you. If that is you, raise your hand and I'll pray over you. Raise your hand. More. It's anyone that wants more. I want more of you, God. More of you, God. I want to abide. I want to rest in you. I want to be with you every second of the day, Lord. Fill me up to overflowing. Fill me up, Lord God. I can do nothing without you, God. Nothing without you. So we thank you, Lord, as you fill this place, as you fill these hearts, as you come down right now, as you're taking your children and you're opening up their hearts, to surrender every area to you, Lord God, as they give their lives surrendered totally to the living God. And all of God's ladies said, Amen. Thank you, ladies. I love you. Love you.